And once again, welcome. Once again, it is good to see all who we have. As was mentioned in the announcements, we do have visitors, but nevertheless, all our faces that are here are familiar. And we are grateful to see every one of you and hope that you can come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have to do so. As was also mentioned in our announcements, our gospel meeting is rapidly approaching. As a matter of fact, it begins 3 weeks from today. So let's continue to pray for the success of this effort. In our bulletin last week, I actually posted a number of things, and it's by no means an exhaustive list, but a number of things that we could pray for in reference to this particular gospel meeting, more than just a simple, straightforward, may it be success. There are many things to pray about. And also there are many things to do as far as this meeting is concerned. The back page of the bulletin today is why you should be here. And so there's many other things that we can consider in reference to this. I know that Randall is looking forward to this effort, and his brother Alan, who is going to be with him, for those of you who do not know him, he is also a gospel preacher. And he's going to be with Randall during this particular effort here. I'm looking forward to meeting him and both of them being here, and we're looking forward to having some studies together during the day as well. If you have questions about anything, I'm sure Randall will be glad to help you with those questions, answer them to the best of his ability and according to God's Word. On to the lesson at hand this morning. If you have an outline, we are continuing our study of the pure heart, and we are continuing to deal with the subject of dangers to the pure heart. Of course, it's always important that we maintain a pure heart in our lives, but we realize that there are dangers that we need to be concerned about. And as we've been dealing with the pure heart throughout this year, it's not only important that we understand the type of a heart that we need to have and the qualities we need to develop, but things that will get in our way of that quality. And it is with that in mind that throughout our study thus far that we've noted a number of different dangers associated with the pure heart. We've talked about the subject of lust, whether it be sensuality, the lust of the eyes, or covetousness, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. Last week we talked about ignorance and unbelief and the importance of knowing the Word of God. This morning, I guess you could say I'm going to go to meddling. This is one of those that I could, you know, I sometimes jokingly say when I point, I always point my fingers out that way, but I have a hard time doing that because I'm going to be pointing to myself today as I present this lesson and as we talk about the subject of busyness and clutter. And how that is a danger to the pure heart. And those are two words that you may not be familiar with or think about in dealing with this subject, but we're going to see that it is very much something that we need to be concerned about. Busyness can be a danger. But having said that, the first thing we need to understand is we need to be busy. As Christians, we are to live busy lives in service to God. If you look at the example of Jesus, as Peter was teaching Cornelius about Jesus, in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38, the way that he described him is he said that he went about doing good. And of course, what that means is that Jesus actually kept very, very busy. We actually briefly discussed that in our class this morning. We're in Matthew chapter 8. Jesus gets into a boat. The multitudes are following him, and he gets into a boat to go to the other side. And we find that while he is in the midst of the water, he's sleeping. He's resting. There's a time for rest there, but nevertheless, we find that Jesus is constantly busy. In John chapter 9 and in verse number 4, Jesus himself said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day." The night is coming when no one can work. Jesus realized his need to be busy. And he even taught his disciples in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 2, and this is where he is sending out the 12. He's telling them to pray to the Lord of harvest to send forth laborers. And he goes on and says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So we understand that there's plenty of work that absolutely needs to be done. As Christians, we are described as God's special people in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14. And as such, we are to be zealous
for good works. We ought to look forward to opportunities to do good where others are concerned. And when we look at the life of a Christian, we will find that if we are busy doing those things that we ought to do, in one sense it can keep us out of trouble. It keeps us out of idleness. Christians have lives where we spend our time trying to do good, helping others, being an encouragement to one another as brethren. We spend time worshiping God, and we need to spend time growing personally. All of those are very important things that show that we need to be busy as Christians. And in addition to this, another point that we need to consider when we talk about busyness is that laziness is condemned greatly within Scripture. This was one of those subjects that Solomon, for some reason, he fully understood this. Because in the Proverbs, over and over, he emphasizes the dangers of laziness. In Proverbs 18 and in verse number 9, you read there, "He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer." We need to be concerned about not being slothful. In Proverbs, he talks about the man who won't go outside because there's a lion in the street. Talks about somebody who's so lazy he won't even lift up his hand with the spoon to his mouth. That's laziness. In Proverbs 24, beginning at about verse number 30, we read this about laziness. It says here, beginning in verse number 30, again, it says, "I went to the field of a lazy man, and by the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an unarmed man." He talks about the house that's falling down, that's not taken care of, because of laziness. Because of the man who won't do what he needs to do. In Matthew chapter 25, when you read about the one talent man there, you know, Jesus talks about a master that goes on a journey and he gives, according to their abilities, talents to three of his servants to minister and take care of while he is gone. Two of them double their talents. But then you have the one talent man. All he was given was one talent. And when he returns, he hadn't done anything. And the way that the master begins to answer him is by saying, "You wicked and lazy servant." He's called lazy because he did nothing. Friends, we need to do more than sit around all of the time and philosophize and dream. And I know that there's a lot of people that that's what they like to do. Matter of fact, you realize that that's what Paul was dealing with in Athens when you go over to Acts chapter 17. Where the philosophers, they love to sit around and just debate all day long. Well, there's more to being a Christian. There's more to serving God than simply discussing the Word of God. Not that that's not important. Or thinking about the Word of God. We need to do that. But we also need to get to work. Nevertheless, having said that, busyness is a serious problem. It can be a danger to the pure heart. It can be a serious problem is the way to say that. Again, busyness is good when it's done properly. What we're talking about when we talk about the danger of busyness is we're talking about an overcommitted lifestyle. We're talking about somebody that commits themselves so much that they're too busy to do what they actually need to do. And the result of this is because somebody has so many irons in the fire materially and physically where this world is concerned, there's the danger of a diluted pure heart. Remember we pointed out that word pure has two different meanings. It can mean unpolluted and it can mean undiluted. The idea of being diluted is divided interests. And we need to be concerned about that as Christians. Busyness is a problem in our society for many. Now, there are some that are idle, but there are others that are overly busy. We live in very, very busy times. being too busy in this society is not hard to accomplish. There is so much for us to do around us. We have so many choices, and more choices than ever before. And we have greater resources at our disposal to avail ourselves of whatever those choices might be. One of the greatest dangers that I see today in America, and among Americans, is that we're doing too much. We have so many things going on. We're overcommitted with our lives. We quite often agree to do more than what we really have the ability to accomplish. And the result is stress. The result is a failure to take care of ourselves the way that we ought to. The result is often that what we don't do it effectively, or we don't do it with our all. We just do enough to get by. So you would describe that as poor quality control. All of that has to do with the problem of busyness. You know, we are living in a wonderful age, if you will, in which we have all types of modern conveniences. And when you look at the conveniences that we have, you would think that they ought to help us to give us more time to do other things, but do they? You know, you think about that answer. Do all these modern conveniences really free up our time? You know the answer to that? That's one of those loaded questions, because the answer is yes and no. It does free up our time. But what do we turn around and do? We fill up that free time with other things that are not necessarily important. Other things that we want to do, rather than the things that we ought to do. So conveniences are good, and they ought to help. But sometimes we fill up our schedule so much that there's little time left for us to take care of ourselves physically. And we have to do that. We have to take care of our bodies. And it takes time to keep yourself to where you're able to be mobile and to work and do what you need to do. We need to take care of our families. How many families are neglected because of busyness? Because of the person that is so addicted to his work that his family is neglected. Or he's so addicted to a hobby that he has, or some form of recreation, and he is so involved in that he has no time to be with his family. He doesn't spend time with his wife, or she doesn't spend time with her husband. They don't spend enough time with their children. Friendships aren't developed and nurtured properly. Important tasks often go unfinished or not even addressed because you're busy doing something that you want to do, instead of taking care of what absolutely needs to be done. That's the problem. That's the problem with busyness. And along with this problem, there are also dangers associated with it. And there are spiritual dangers. Obviously, while there are concerns in our society, what we're concerned about is our soul. We're concerned about the pure heart. And dangers to the pure heart. And some of the dangers that we might face because of busyness in our lives is more important things may be neglected. I ask you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 for a moment. And as you are turning over there to Luke chapter 10, this is where we find the account of Jesus visiting with Mary and Martha. And of course, that was two of his dearest friends. He loved them dearly, along with Lazarus, who was related to them. And we find that there was an occasion where Jesus was visiting the house of Mary and Martha, and Martha was frantically preparing dinner. I mean, after all, Jesus was there, the Lord, her Lord. She loved him dearly, and she wanted to give him her absolute best where this feast was concerned. And here is Martha frantically preparing dinner. And what we might relate it to is a Thanksgiving dinner. You know, where you've got all the family around, and that extra set of hands in the kitchen would be very, very helpful. Well, here's Mary working, or Martha working, and here's Mary. She's sitting in the other room, just listening to Jesus as he teaches, carrying on a conversation with her. And it reaches the point where Martha actually comes to Jesus. And incidentally, it says there in verse number 40, and this is what I want you to notice. It says Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And I want you to notice the response of Jesus in verse number 41. He answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken from her. Now let me ask you, Martha being concerned about feeding Jesus, was that wrong? Was there anything sinful in the conduct of Martha on this occasion? Absolutely not. You know, what she was doing was a good thing. We need to eat. We're told to be hospitable. So there's nothing wrong with that. But there is such a thing as priorities. And some things are more important than others. And as Christians, we need to know what is more important, and we need to know what is most important. And that's serving God. And at this time, Mary had the opportunity to learn from the Lord. And that was more important than whether or not the table was perfectly set for dinner. Now, you can eat on the paper plates and the food will fill you up just as well. So, you have there an example of the more important things. And sometimes we get so busy that those important things get neglected. It's also possible that we become so busy that we fail to put God first in our lives. There's things that we want to do, and we want to do so much of it that God ends up getting the leftovers. And that's whether we're talking about our money, whether we're talking about our time, whether we're talking about our energy. He gets what's left after we've done everything that we want to do. And sometimes, God is just put on the back burner. Now, as that expression goes, He's put off taking care of dealing with what you need to address with God. That's just completely put off until you get a chance to accomplish whatever this other thing is that you want to do. Here's a way to look at this. Let me ask you this. When you have a scheduling conflict, and you know, we all realize that things come up. There are emergencies that every one of us face. We have jobs and we have responsibilities. Emergencies happening. But here's my question, are they the norm? You know, is it normal for there always to be something that gets in your way of doing something else? And here's the question, when a conflict arises in your schedule, between serving God or doing what you want to do, what usually wins out? What's the rule when that type of a conflict arises in your life? That's something for every one of us to think about when we talk about busyness where we are concerned. How often does God win out over our commitments in this world? And especially when those commitments involve recreation. And especially when those commitments involve entertainment. And they involve doing what we want to do, not what we need to do. How often does God win out? Something for us to think about. Another danger you might think about is because sometimes we get so busy that we miss opportunities. How often did Paul talk about the open door? 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 9, we actually discussed this just a few weeks ago in 1 Corinthians, our study on 1 Corinthians, third Sunday night of the month. Paul talked about how he had an open door and there are many adversaries. We need to be concerned about that. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul actually tells the brethren there in Colossae to pray for him that doors will open. He wants opportunity. Well, here's my question. If an opportunity presents itself for you to share the Word of God with somebody, if an opportunity presents itself for you to grow spiritually, say a gospel meeting, will you walk through that door? Or will you allow your busy schedules and your commitments in this life to put that ball game over coming and studying the Word of God and encouraging your brethren as we assemble together? Where's your priorities? Then there's the failure to take time to assess our spiritual condition. And what I mean by this is sometimes we get so busy that we don't have time to stop and examine ourselves. We don't have time to think about, am I doing what is pleasing to God? We need to do that every once in a while. We need to give ourselves spiritual evaluations. And it's something that requires you to take time to just actually stop and breathe and in a quiet place figure out where you are in God's eyes and if there's things that need to change. Sometimes we fail to do those things. Reading through our Bibles, praying to God, other things that we need to do individually. And how often, because of our overcommitment, because of our busyness, our quality of service is poor and it's inferior when it comes to serving God. That's the danger that we need to be aware of. Now, there's another direction that I just want to kind of briefly mention this as we deal with these things and how this is a danger. Let me ask you this. Is it possible to become so busy doing good things that you neglect other things that are more important? And what I mean by this, is it possible for us to be doing so many good works? And they may be good works in God's eyes and things that are good and productive. But can we become so busy being carried away doing those types of, doing those things that we forget to neglect the weightier matters of the law? The justice, mercy, and faith. That we forget to sit down at the feet of Jesus and listen to Him for a few moments because we're so busy feeding those who are hungry. Feeding the hungry is a good thing. But we've got to find time to spend with the Lord on our own. That's the danger of busyness. Now, what is the answer to this? Well, in the very first lesson that we dealt with the qualities of a pure heart, the first thing that we talked about is how He is a priority in our lives. And that's what you have to do. You have to prioritize. You have to prioritize and you have to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And in another passage that we are familiar with, that we read from time to time, let's go ahead and read it now. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 15, Paul there says this to these brethren, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." You're told there to walk wisely. That's the idea of being circumspect. You walk wisely, you walk with alertness. You know what is going on. And as you walk that way, you use your time with wisdom. You redeem the time. That word, redeem means to buy up, to pay for. And what Paul is saying there is, you use your time in a way that is pleasing to God, in a way that shows that you're putting God where God needs to be. Friends, listen to me clearly on this. I know I've already mentioned it. We have to. This is not a suggestion. This is an absolute must. If you are to grow spiritually, you have to find some private, quiet time where you can pray to God on your own and where you can read the Bible without distractions, where you can study the Word of God. You have to find time to do that by yourself if you want a pure heart, if you want to grow the way that you ought to grow. And that's the answer to busyness. You're just going to have to find the time to do it. Now, associated with busyness is this other word, clutter. And they actually go hand in hand. So I'm really continuing the same point in dealing with this busyness. Sometimes the reason we're so busy is because we have so much clutter in our lives. And it's a product often of materialism. We're worldly and we're materialistic in our thinking because of the society that we live in. Now, when I talk about the term clutter, what I have in mind here is a life that is filled with stuff Hey, that's an interesting word. Stuff! Things! Might be akin to what Jesus said in Matthew 6:24 when he used the word mammon. You cannot serve both God and mammon. And by stuff, our life filled with stuff. Stuff that's not necessary. Or maybe we have so much stuff that we don't know how to manage it. As a result, we have what is described as an overcrowded lifestyle. Overcrowded. That's what we're talking about. Now, as I go through the rest of this, and this actually applies to what I've said before, you know, let's just assume when we talk about this stuff that we have that it's good stuff. And what I mean by that is, we're not even addressing the if you're doing things that are wrong, you know, things that are sinful within themselves, or if you're that which you have acquired, you've acquired sinfully. We're going with the assumption that what we have, we've obtained in an honorable way, and it's good stuff. It's good things. Things that within itself is not wrong, is not sinful. Things that are not wrong to have. Places that are not wrong to go. People that are not wrong to associate with. Our assumption as we move forward with this lesson is that what we have is good stuff. But the question is, can we have too much of it? Can things get in the way? And the first thing I want to mention, there are ways that things can get in the way. And the first way is materially. We can have so much stuff materially that it hinders us spiritually. You think about this, the more you accumulate, the more resources it requires to manage that which you have accumulated. And I could just look at all kinds of examples, and again, it might not be wrong, but let's say somebody has an RV. You know, somebody has an RV. How much does it cost to maintain that RV? How much time does it take to maintain that RV? Or the fishing boat? Or whatever the hobby might be? And again, I'm not saying it's wrong to have those things. But the more stuff we have, the more that is required to maintain it, to store it. And sometimes that means you've got to devote more of your resources, more of your money to dealing with those things, and that you oftentimes the spiritual suffers as a result of those things. What about our activities? Are we so busy with work and recreation and entertainment? And I tell you right now, those are an obsession where our nation is concerned. And as a result of that, do we see family obligations and activities that are taking place? As a result of that, attending services takes a secondary slot to other things. A ball game, a camping trip, a school activity, an office party, whatever it is, it stands in the way of assembling with the saints or studying the Word the way that you ought to. Is our life so full with clutter that we don't have the time to do the things that we ought to? You know, we talk about the data planners people used to have. Now we call them smartphones. You know, where you can manage where you go. How many families are there that the children, from the time they get up in the morning till they go to bed, they're shuffled from one place to the next, one activity to the next activity, on and on and on it goes, and they're just so busy, and their days are just so full, clutter, and God is left out of part of it. What about minds that are cluttered? This is usually what happens when we have too many activities and too much material clutter. Our minds become cluttered, distracted. Worry. We start worrying about everything. We start worrying about what we have. In addition to that, the stress level rises. And we're stressed over making the choices that we have to make. I'm going to give you a definition of stress here in just a few moments. Trivial pursuits. I'm not just so much talking about the game. I'm just talking about our minds are so full thinking about this and that and going in every direction. There's no spot in the mind to think about God. No time to think about God. As a result of these things, there's emotional clutter. It often gets in the way. We fail to forgive ourselves. We feel guilt because we know that God's not where God needs to be. And we feel guilty about it. But rather than slowing down and taking care of those things, we just keep pushing forward and keep feeling guilty about it. What about stubbornness? The refusal to give up the things that are standing in your way of putting God where God wants. Oh, I know I need to do this, but I'm not giving this activity up. It's unfair of you to expect me to not watch this TV program. Where does that fit in? I'm not going to give those things up. Emotional stubbornness. One who refuses to repent of some ungodly activity that is in their life. We sometimes describe all these things as emotional baggage. I tell you right now, it's very real. And there are psychologists out there that are getting very wealthy because of the amount of emotional baggage that people carry around in this life. It's sad when somebody from 5 years of age on has to go to a therapist the rest of their life. But it's out there. Clutter. Clutter in our society. Clutter in our spiritual lives. And we need to be concerned about this. It is a real danger to the pure heart. And what is the example to it? For the next few minutes, I've mentioned in this study on the pure heart, we've talked about what a pure heart is, we've talked about qualities of a pure heart, we're talking about dangers of a pure heart, and we've got one more portion to address later on in this year, shortly after our gospel meeting is over. I'll wait a few weeks, and then we're going to address purifying the heart, keeping the heart pure, solutions. Friends, here's a part of the solution right here. Here's an example of some of the things we need to consider when we're dealing with dangers and maintaining a pure heart. When it comes to the danger of clutter, when it comes to the danger of busyness, we need to sit back and simply simplify our lives. We've made our lives more complicated than they need to be. You ever hear somebody talk about the good old days? Looking back to the good old days, maybe that Little House on the Prairie. You remember, if you ever watched that. Very simple. There was just a small house. Basically, they raised food to survive. You worked a job so that you could get by. And that's what you did. They weren't distracted with all the conveniences that we have nowadays. We talk about how those were the good old days. If only we had those simple lifestyles now. Well, now you hear me clearly on this. I'm not saying that we need to go back to that from the standpoint of the conveniences that we have now. Many of the things that we have at our disposal now are blessings. They're good. If we manage them. If we use them wisely. If we manage them rather than letting them manage us. The technology that we've developed in the area of medicine. How many lives are saved as a result of that? Our ability to take the gospel, if you want to talk about spiritually, to the world today compared to what it was just 45 years ago, 45, 50 years ago. It is phenomenal. The way that we're able to broadcast the message of the Word of God. Some of you know that I'm involved with some other gospel preachings on Wednesday mornings, an online Bible study. Truthfactor.com is the website. A good friend of mine started that website. And we engage in a Bible study on a weekly basis. We have people from England. We have people from the Philippines studying the Word of God live with us. That's a good thing. So technology is not bad within itself. But the bottom line is we need to simplify our lives when things get in our way. There are some things that we just don't need it, or we don't need as much of it as we have. And what would we be willing to give up to achieve the balance that we need in serving God? How many today are there that fail to attend regularly, study at home, visit neighbors? There's a good one. How many of us visit our neighbors the way that they used to? And because they don't have time, these things are the things that often get neglected. Something else that I think about here is, what about our morality? What about the view of the church? Has that been affected by stuff? You realize that there's a church out there today that is an internet-based church? And the object of it is, you can worship God from the convenience of your home and just make sure you send us your paycheck and here's the address or your funeral contribution. But other than that, you worship God at home. You worship God anonymously. You don't need to find a congregation of God's people and assemble with them. It's the direction that we're going. The definition of what the church is actually about seems to be changing because of our busy society. Morality. Nobody takes the time, or many are not taking the time to examine what the Bible really teaches as morality. What is moral and what is immoral? People are woefully ignorant of these subjects because they don't take the time. They don't have the time to study what God's Word says. And quite honest, as we pointed out last week, some of them don't want to know. If stuff stands in your way of serving God adequately, and I realize that's an interesting word there. You know, you think of adequate. I looked the word up this morning. That's actually a word that means enough to get by. And that leads to the question, in serving God, how much is enough to get by? We need to really, really think about that. But the bottom line is, if stuff stands in your way of giving God adequate service, would you give it up? Would you give the TV up? Would you give the computer up? Would you give up some hobby? Some activity that consumes a lot of your time? You know, in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus there was talking about lust, but he makes this point in verse number 29. Matthew 5 and in verse number 29, he says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Now, I do not believe Jesus was teaching self-mutilation there. But I tell you, the point that he was making is whatever gets in your way of serving God, you need to be willing to cut it off. You want an application of that verse? It's found in, Matthew 19, the first few verses there, when a rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And in essence, Jesus said, you got to sell everything that you own and go give it to the poor and you come follow me. Money stood in his way. He needed to cut it off. That was the bottom line. How many of us are willing to cut off whatever stands in our way of putting God where God needs to be in our lives? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 10 and following, Paul there says, we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Now, he was talking about brotherly love there. And then he says, that you increase more and more that you may aspire to lead a quiet life. That's a simple life, friends. That's what he's saying there. You lead a simple life, quiet life, that you mind your own business and you work with your own hands as we have commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Lead a quiet life. Maybe that's what we need to look at where our life is concerned. We have to have that time for private prayer and private study. You realize that Jesus had his Gethsemane? You know, that's where Judas led the soldiers. Do you think that was the first time that Jesus went to Gethsemane? If you read Luke chapter 22 and verse number 39, it talks about Jesus going out to the Mount of Olives as was his custom. And if you look at a map, the Garden of Gethsemane is on the Mount of Olives. Jesus did it regularly. Jesus would arise early in the morning, Luke 5 and verse 16, so he could go pray before the crowds got up. He had time for himself. Friends, we need a Gethsemane. Now that may just be a room in your house where in the morning you arise before everybody else and you don't turn on the TV, you remove all the distractions and you just open your Bible and you read and you say a prayer to God. You start your day that way. Maybe it's a park where you can go and enjoy nature. And you can think about what God has blessed us with. And you open your Bible and you read your Bible and you pray to God. We need a Gethsemane. What did Jesus say about prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 6? He said, don't pray so that men see you. He said, you go find a closet. And you pray to God in secret who sees in secret. He knows what you're praying. He knows your attitudes. And when you're praying to God in that closet by yourself, there's no sense in you powdering the words or, you know, softening the words. He knows what you've done. You can't hide from Him. And that's the point. You can be open. You can be open to God with your weaknesses. You can be open to God with your needs. Because you're in private. We need to do that. We need to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God, rightly dividing or handling accurately the word of truth. King James says, study to show thyself approved to God. We got to do that if we are to be pleasing to Him. So what is the answer to clutter? It's the same as the answer to busyness. Time management, prioritization, putting God first in your life. Among the things we got to do is, number one, we got to learn to let go of whatever it is that hinders our spiritual growth. And that's what we've been talking about. Number two, we need to learn to balance our lives. Most of us have many responsibilities. And they're all important, or many of them are important. Some are more important than others. Some are more urgent than others to address. But we've got to learn to prioritize, and we've got to learn to figure out what's really, really important and what's not. That's a challenge, but that's one thing we need to do. And one more thing that we need to do is we got to learn to say no. We need to realize that we cannot say or do we cannot do everything that everybody wants us to do. And even if you feel bad about it, there are times where you need to simply tell yourself no. I told you I was going to give you a definition of stress. This is from Gary Henry. Stress is when your heart says, don't do it, your priorities will suffer. But your mouth says, why sure, I'd be happy to. That's a good description of stress. We need to learn that we can't do everything. The question is, what are we willing to give up for a pure heart? Does God really mean more to us than our stuff? Lesson yours.